Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. So on today's show, I wanted to cover a little bit about nourishment and nutrition and what is a biologically appropriate diet for humans. So this is an excerpt that I'm going to read you from my new book. This is a contribution or a piece written by Dr. Doris Haslocker on ancestral diet and nutrition. And that's what I'm going to cover on today's podcast. And yeah, share a little bit of the book, get you guys excited for it. And it's going to be coming out on October 1st. So I thought I'd share this with you all today. So let's get into it. So I'm going to start reading here from this chapter. And all the chapters that I cover in the book are what I believe are the key pillars and fundamental kind of practices and principles required to cultivate vibrant and vital health. I really try and keep it succinct in terms of what I think and believe are the keys to cultivating that state and how we navigate through the modern world with those things in mind so that we can truly thrive and be vital. So let's get into it. What is a diet fit for Homo sapiens? All animals have a species-specific diet that gives them their best possible health. Wolves in zoos used to be fed any old thing and would lose their fur, show neurotic behaviors, fail to reproduce, and die young. When they started being fed fresh, raw meat and a diet closer to that of their wild relatives, their health and longevity dramatically improved. There are similar stories for many zoo animals, and the science of what to feed them to allow for reproduction and longevity is mostly based on mimicking, as far as possible, their wild diet. If you didn't know what food was good for a dog, you could look to a wolf in the wild for inspiration. Each animal has an optimal diet specific to their species, and a koala will not thrive on the diet appropriate for a chimp or a leopard. Humans are no different. A biologically appropriate diet is one which provides what that animal needs to stay alive, to repair and build its tissues, to conduct all its biochemical and physiological processes, to reproduce, to fight off any infections, heal when injured, to be strong and agile and capable of carrying out all its species-specific behaviors, and to remain free from illnesses. This means eating foods which supply necessary building blocks such as protein, some fuels such as fat or carbohydrates, and all the minerals, vitamins, and other tiny molecules that are chemically required to do those jobs. A food rich in those things is referred to as a nutrient-dense or nutrient-rich food. A food that supplies little or none of those things would be a nutrient-deficient or nutrient-poor food. Koalas, as an example, get all their nutrient needs met by eating gum leaves. So to a koala, a gum leaf is a highly nutrient-dense food. A human cannot digest or assimilate any nutrients from a gum leaf and would instead be slightly poisoned by it. So to a human, a gum leaf is both toxic and nutrient-poor. What is a biologically appropriate diet for our species? To answer that, researchers have looked at populations that eat traditional diets and enjoyed good health across the globe. One of the best known of these researchers was dentist Weston A. Price. He observed and documented the facial features, health, and dentition of many ethnic groups around the world, comparing neighboring groups of the same ethnicity who had or had not yet abandoned their traditional diet and adopted what he called the foods of commerce, meaning a modern industrialized diet. Those who had changed their eating habits had different jaw and facial shapes, crowded and decayed teeth, as well as cancers and chronic illnesses. In certain families, the older children of the same parents had markedly strong facial features with no dental issues compared to the younger children with crowded teeth, small jaws, and tooth decay. These younger ones being born after the family started eating a modern processed diet at the expense of the diet their people had eaten for generations. Another place to get the answer to that question of what is a biologically proper diet for a human is to look at the fossil record and anthropological study of ancient humans prior to the advent of agriculture 10,000 years ago. It was after this time that human populations gradually became more reliant on growing high starch crops for calories, relying heavily on one single starchy crop with much less input from animal foods or from the variety and seasonality of their plant foods. Studying the bones, teeth, artifacts, and even fossilized poo of these populations shows how their diet and state of health changed, with increased disease rates and decreased stature, health, and longevity. In modern times, we have seen an extraordinary and exponential decline in health, and an extraordinary and exponential growth in cancers and chronic diseases. Some report that children born in the last decade are expected to live shorter lifespans than their parents. Whether this turns out to be true or not, it is still evident that the conditions that used to be reserved for the middle-aged, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, and just plain old fatigue and brain fog, are occurring at younger and younger ages. Clearly, something has changed quite dramatically, and it certainly can't be genetic, as this would take many millennia. What an animal eats affects not only that individual, but also the generations that follow. This was famously demonstrated in cats by a scientist named Pottinger, who discovered that cats who were fed raw meat remained healthy for the four generations studied, whereas the group fed only cooked meat, where key cat-building nutrients such as taurine are destroyed, got progressively weaker and sicker with each generation until they got to the fourth generations, where the kittens were weak, infested with vermin, and died before they could even reproduce. So what is the ideal diet for humans to enjoy good health and to transfer that good health to their offspring down the line, as happens in nature, as happened in those traditional cultures with fulsome health in all their members? Across the world, ecosystems, landscapes, climates, and geography dictate what foods are available, and humans have lived in practically every type of condition that exists on Earth, with a wide variety of available foods. So the answer is not going to be a specific recipe. However, there are some key principles that are present in every single part of the world where humans have lived and that we can use to define an ideal human diet. We ate plants, animals, and fungi that were not sprayed with chemicals and that were local to our area. We ate them while they were available and in season. We preferred to eat the fattiest animals, and we made sure to eat the organs as well as the muscles. We saved the fattiest, most nutrient-dense animal foods for the pregnant and lactating women or for the sick and injured. When plants were abundant in equatorial places, we ate a lot of them. When they were scarce in colder climates, we did without them and still thrived. We knew plants well, avoided the ones with toxins, or carefully processed those we did eat to make them safe. Most of our plants' foods were only available for a few weeks of the year, so the amount we could eat was automatically limited. There have been no known human populations who have remained in robust health for generations on a diet devoid of animal foods. When we found honey, we gorged on it, and then when we didn't have any at all for many months. We underwent periods of feasting and periods of fasting. We did not snack or graze all day long every day of the year. What happens when an animal does not get its species-appropriate diet, but instead strays into eating habits which don't provide all the needed building blocks and nutrients? If we look at the rates of chronic illness in our species and how conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune diseases, mental health problems, behavior problems, skin issues, digestive issues, infertility, fatigue, anxiety, and many others have been exponentially and catastrophically rising, we can see a strong parallel with changes in our diet. We cannot deduce that the association is purely causal, or that there aren't other factors at play, but it certainly gives pause for thought. There have been dramatic shifts away from eating a diet that follows the principle outlined above. So that's all I'm going to share with you guys today. That's just a small portion of that chapter. And that is one of the chapters in my new book, How to Thrive in the Modern World. That was a really great contribution from Dr. Doris Haslocker, and I'm really grateful for her for sharing that. Obviously, you know, all of that is great knowledge, and there's some great takeaways to be taken from that. And when we really start to understand what a biologically appropriate diet or even just lifestyle for humans is, I believe that is the key for us to start to be able to thrive and navigate this crazy modern world that we live in. So, as I mentioned earlier, the book is coming out on October 1st, and that's when it's going to be launching and getting out to all of you guys officially. If you do want to get early access to the book, then you can head over to the show notes in this episode and check out my Patreon page, where if you sign up to become a Move Wild member for just $7 a month, you're going to get early access to the new book, as well as follow along natural movement workouts every week and exclusive content that I don't post anywhere else. Anyway, I hope you guys found this podcast useful, and I hope you guys found the information within it valuable. I really appreciate all of you listening in, and you know, I wouldn't be able to produce or do this podcast without your support. I've been getting heaps of messages recently, people reaching out, letting me know how much they love the podcast, and I really, really appreciate that. And if you guys want to share this episode or just share the podcast in general, it goes a long way, and I really appreciate you guys doing that and getting this message out to more people. So with that said, thank you all so much for tuning in. I will catch you on the next episode of Move Wild Podcast, coming out on Tuesday.